The Lord be with you.
With
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, on my heart. My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us this morning from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he asks you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Have you told God lately that you love him, her? I was on my way here, I was listening to Rod Stewart, you know, that song, "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You?" I use that as my prayer. It's a great song to sing to God, you know. I mean, the words in that song can be applied to your relationship to God as well. Do you believe that God delights in you? Have you ever delighted in anyone? A spouse, hopefully, at least for a while. Yeah. I don't think a lot of us believe that God delights in us, that God rejoices in us. And yet, that's the truth. You can say, "I love you," at any time of the day to God, just driving along, looking at a beautiful mountain, say, "Hey, God, I love you. I love you." You can just, all day long. It's not hard to do. As I said at the beginning, the authors of John's Gospel, they knew very well the themes of married love that were constant in the Hebrew Scriptures, that God often spoke in lover's language across the scrolls of salvation history. Read the Song of Songs. Oh my God, you want to talk about love. And I'm sure that whoever wrote this gospel, that they rejoiced in the words that they found in Isaiah, which proclaimed to us today that this amazing God, this God who created everything that you see and what cannot be seen, this God who is the source of all life and love, the creator of the universe or universes, is in love with you and with 8 billion other people. It's amazing. God can love us individually and also 8 billion people as well. So how is your love life? your romance, how's your romance going with God? Or have you stopped romancing God? Let me say this. I would like to share with you what I have discovered, what I have observed, what I've experienced in my life over the years. And that is this, that you can't really romance God or anyone else, for that matter, if you haven't found yourself. If you don't know yourself and you don't love yourself, then how can you be in a loving relationship with God or with anybody? Because you're not bringing yourself into the relationship. It's one-sided. You, your authentic self, needs to be there in the relationship. You need to come to the table and share in the feast. You need to come to the wedding. You need to enter into the bridal chamber. And then you can commune. Then you can share love. So the question is, what is your true identity? Well, we have to find it to experience it ourselves. But the Bible sheds light on this right from the get-go. In the book of Genesis, this matter is so important that the Bible starts out with it. It sheds light on it right from the start. In the first two chapters of the book of Genesis, we see that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. The image and the likeness of God, who breathed God's own life into humanity. But then in the third chapter, we're told that skins were put onto us. And we lost sight and experience of our true selves, our true identity. We lost sight of it and experience of it. And for the whole of our lives, we're trying to go beyond the skins that differentiate us from Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, Christian or Muslim, American or Iranian, and we're trying to regain our real identity. When I was writing this, I thought of the story, and I might have shared this with you before, and you may have heard this story, but it's of an ornithologist who once found an eagle in a chicken yard. And he talked to the farmer, and he asked him what the king of all birds was doing among the chickens. And the farmer politely told him that he had found the baby eagle, and he put it in with the chickens to see if it would survive. And the chickens had no problem accepting the eagle. And in fact, they didn't even notice the difference. The little eagle grew up feeling so much at home with the chickens that it believed that it was just like all the other chickens. It ate like them, and it cackled like them. The ornithologist asked the farmer to give him a chance to free the eagle. And so he took the eagle in his hand, and he talked to it about how it was the king of all birds, and that its place was in the sky and not in the chicken yard. The eagle cackled, went right back to the other chickens, and fought for its food. The following day, the ornithologist came again And he took the eagle to a rooftop. And he tried to talk about its the identity of an eagle and what it means to be an eagle. But the sight and the sound of the other chickens drew the eagle back to the chicken coop, where he fought for his food. But this lover of birds did not give up, and he came early one morning, long before daybreak, and he took the eagle out onto a high mountain. And as the first rays of the rising sun hit the eye of the eagle, all of a sudden, something shifted in its soul. And it gave out one shrill cry. It spread its wings, and it flew off into the wide open sky. That eagle found its identity. It was actually the king of all birds. If you find your true self, which sadly many people do not, they mistake their identity. But if you find your true self, you will love yourself. And if you love yourself, you will find yourself. They go together. And in the finding of yourself and in the loving of yourself, you will experience the divine that dwells within you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot love God and relate with the divine if we do not recognize our identity as children of God and live like divine heirs, as sons of God and daughters of heaven. But once we do, then as heirs, all that is God is at our disposal. Everything in the universe, known and unknown, become a revelation of the divine and speaks of God to us. This is what Jesus was trying to reveal. This is why Jesus came. This is the purpose of his life. And this is what religion is supposed to do, is to help us to find our true identity. Religion is not supposed to be an evacuation system to another world. When we find ourselves in the being, in the essence of God, our lives are totally changed. God lives in us, and we live in God. And once I am commingled with God, I do not see myself as a man. I don't see myself as a priest. I don't see myself as a Christian or a Catholic or an American. And I am not my body, I am not my thoughts, I am not my feelings and emotions. I see myself as a breath of God. And when I see myself as a breath of God, as that my identity, then I see beyond your being a male or a female, beyond your race, your religion, your sexuality, and I can look at you as a person. And without effort, I see myself as a person in God and God in me. And I see you as a person in God in you. And there is no greater expression, no greater experience of being in love with God than that.